Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
You think you know me?
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Wrestle Talk in the D again on Open Talk Radio 313, The Flash, blogtalkradio.com. Yes, we are back for a second day in a row. It seems like we're going to be on tomorrow and then Friday and then Saturday and then Sunday and then Monday and then Tuesday. At this rate, that's what's going to happen, you know, because we're going to have a good show tonight, and then we're going to talk after the show, and then we're going to realize, hey, we want to do another show tomorrow, so we'll see after this show what's going to go down. But I'm happy to talk wrestling this next 60 minutes with the gentleman. Dominic's not with us tonight, but we have Josh, Kayvon, there in the house doing what they do best, and that's talk wrestling. I want to thank God first and foremost for giving us another chance to run our mouth about the sport we love, and that's wrestling. Let's bring in the family, the crew, the mafia of Wrestle Talking to D. What's up, Tribal Chief Kayvon?
What's going on? What's going on?
Nothing much, man. I feel like I was saying at the beginning of the show that we're going to be doing a show every day this week. I kind of want to try to push for that now, you know, to do a show every night. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we'll see. I know Josh is always ready to go and talk wrestling. I know you are too, Kayvon.
Oh, yeah. And especially every night. Oh, man, that gives me a challenge. Yes.
Yes.
Whew.
So, are we challenging ourselves and breaking this news right now? Let me bring Josh in so he can get a part of this breaking news. We got to see if Josh is up for this. What up, Josh?
Josh is up for wrestling talk every day until the day he is resting in his grave.
Oh my God, that's a whole lot of wrestling talk, man.
Hey, you know what? I got a lot of knowledge that I can drop, but I also got a lot I can talk about because I can nitpick so much, bro.
Yeah, Josh, you are Mr. Hot Take, man. You are Mr. No Filter, man. That's what I'm going to start calling you because you just say it how it is, bro.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, Kayvon, we missed you last night. We did our best without you, man, but we glad you're back tonight. And we going to jump right into everything because we only here tonight for 60 minutes unless we decide to go another 60 or another 120 minutes. But we'll see. Kayvon, I'm not going to waste your time. We won't waste no time. We're going to get to the big four plus one with Mr. Kayvon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you're all ladies. The Tribal Chief is back, and he has to bring you the big four plus one. Number one, Roman Reigns. If you guys saw on Friday night SmackDown, I believe this is what you all would call the shortest match in history between Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it only took one spear and one guillotine and Sami Zayn was stepping out like a fish out of water. Number two, we have Bobby Lashley. This past Monday night on Raw, during the commercial break, Bobby Lashley went on a rampage. So will we be seeing a fatal four-way at day one for the WWE Championship? Now, of course, we also have Liv Morgan. She put on a hell of a good fight on Friday night. No, Monday. On Monday night. And, of course, she lost due to Becky Lynch cheating. Then we have Adam Pearce. A man that has now been put on the big 4+1 because he is scared of my next person that I'm going to bring up, Brock Lesnar. Is Brock Lesnar a good guy? Why do I say that? Because he sort of kind of was on Sami Zayn's side and then hit Sami Zayn with multiple suplexes and he hit him with a whole F5. Adam Pearce is scared of Brock Lesnar. We heard it on the phone. He said he'll stay right there in the car while Brock is there. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Big 4+1.
That was a good Big 4+1.
It sure was.
Sure.
Thank you.
It was.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing with. I know we're going a different direction tonight, but I like what they're doing with Adam Pearce and Brock Lesnar. I think that's relatively funny, and I thought it was hilarious that he stayed in the car, when Brock Lesnar was in the arena. That was just too funny for me. But we're talking about a few things tonight. We're talking about misuse of wrestlers. Josh brought up that topic in our private messaging of each other. We want to talk about misuse of talent. What else are we talking about? The downfall of WCW. And we're going to sound off on some things that we are not happy about in wrestling. Is that correct, Josh? Make sure I'm saying this stuff
yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if I could kick things off, Kayvon, you just brought up somebody that I felt like is being misused. I'm going to be real serious when I say this, because this guy, I don't know what has happened to this guy, but it seemed like they want to make him a comedy act or a joke, or they don't take him serious, and that's the person of Sami Zayn. I don't know when they decided that Sami Zayn wasn't important. I don't know when they decided that Sami Zayn wasn't to be taken seriously anymore. But, man, I feel like Sami Zayn has been misused. Sami Zayn, I don't even take him serious no more, because they're not putting him in prominent spots to be taken serious. Yes, he was just in a championship match with Roman Reigns, but we knew he wasn't going to win. And I feel like they've been misusing Sami Zayn for years now. I know people might say he won an IC title, but that IC title run, I forgot that he was IC champion when he was champion. And I just feel like Sami Zayn is one of those people that could be pushed better. He's a great talent. But I'm just not happy with the way they did him, from his gear to the way they position him in matches, I'm just not jumping for joy, so I don't know what you guys feel about that, but I'm going to pass the ball to you all.
I'll let Brother Kayvon go first.
Okay, so when it comes down to Sami Zayn, he has the potential to be one of the best superstars there is, but due to his lack of his documentary or whatever, they made him a joke because of the fact they don't see potential in Sami Zayn. Like at one point, yes, he was a triple, well, I can't really say triple, but he
held both of the past and present of the IC title, I believe. It was one of those titles. So, therefore, I mean, I don't take Sami Zayn serious only because of what WWE has done to him. I can't really say he became another R-Truth because that would be so bad. That would be so wrong. But, yeah, the way WWE has put Sami Zayn, he's a joke talking about documentaries and has a whole conspiracy behind him. Yeah. I'm with you, Martez, on this one.
Well, I'm going to follow suit. So with Sami Zayn, when he first came to the main roster from NXT, his first match was with John Cena. That's a high-profile match. Anybody who's in a ring with John Cena is going to be made to look like a superstar because that's just the way John Cena works. He always made the other wrestler look good. You fast forward 4 years, 5 years, and he falls victim of what I call the Vince McMahon jackassery. Because, see, here's the problem. Vince McMahon wants to push the big guy. Sami Zayn is not a big guy. It's like he's got some big infatuation with wanting all these big, buff, muscular guys. I think he's got some kind of fetish for that crap. But the thing is at the end of the day, Sami Zayn has the talent to not only be a successful wrestler, but be a true leader in the locker room had they given him the chance. But they scroundered him around and pretty much told him, hey, this is what you're going to do, and if you don't like it, stay home. And that's exactly the way they're doing Sami Zayn. So I agree with you guys 100%. And he's just being misused so much. I mean, some of the stuff he does is funny, but on the same hand, it's like, how much of the nonsense can we take from a wrestler who, when he first came, was a true technician of the ring and also could fly?
I completely agree with you on that, man. I think he's a great heel when he was paired up with Kevin Owens when they both were doing heel work together. You know, I felt like he was he was more entertaining than he is now. And like Kayvon was saying, like you said, he's nothing but a joke right now. And I remember when he was in NXT, like Sami Zayn. People really talked highly about Sami Zayn when he was in NXT and when he first came up to the main roster, because Sami Zayn is a great talent. But like WWE does, they don't always push people properly, and it's sad. But I know you guys probably have other wrestlers that are being misused, so I'll let you all give your wrestlers that are being misused.
You want to go first, Kayvon?
I'm gonna let you go first because it's like, whew, man, I got to think about this one.
And I got a couple more too for myself.
One is Nikki A.S.H. They take her from being this grungy little chick in that group Insanity. Then they put her as a singles person. Then they put her with Alexa Bliss. By far, the best time of her career was probably with Alexa Bliss. Mm-hmm. But then she became this superhero, and I'm like, she's just falling in the same annals as the Hurricane and all these other people who were trying to play these superheroes. You know, and the fact that they made her Raw Women's Champion. And, I mean, I'm sorry, but that character she is right now is a very marketable character, and it's kid-friendly. That's what your demographic wants to be when you're selling shirts or when you're selling action figures, lunch boxes, and stuff like that. You want something that the kids can have. But the problem with Vince McMahon is he, again, flavor of the month, he didn't like her as women's champion, and then when Becky Lynch and all this other stuff happened, I'm sitting there thinking, like, I like Becky Lynch, don't get me wrong, but I don't think they need to build the Raw roster of women around her. I think her time has come and passed as being the focal point, and I think they need to start focusing on more. And then you put Nikki Ash with Rhea Ripley. Okay, opposites attract, whatever, you know, but at the end of the day, you make them Raw Women's Champions, and then they lose into Zelina Vega and Carmella. The reason they lost them is because right now, Carmella and Vega are Vince McMahon's flavor of the month. Next month, it's probably going to be Tamina and Natalya again. And they're on separate shows, so we never know.
Yep. What I have issue with what you're saying is not what you're saying, but I agree with you. It's all about the flavor of the month. You know, they put Nikki Cross and Rhea Ripley together, and then 3 weeks later, they become champions. Then 3 weeks after that, I mean, six weeks after that, Carmella and Vega become champions. First of all, they should have gave us time to love or to have an infatuation with Rhea and Nikki. They gave them the belts too fast. That's my first gripe against that whole situation, you know. And in terms of Nikki Cross, she needs to go back to the way she used to be. They need to just scrap this gimmick. I think it's cool for the kids, like you said, but people like me, people like you, older people, even Kayvon, that's old. I'm not into the superhero wrestlers whatsoever. You know, I'm more into the supernatural stuff, like a Bray Wyatt, like an Undertaker. But when it comes to superhero wrestlers, I've never seen a superhero wrestler be taken seriously. You know, so I think at some point they're gonna have to send her back to the dark side because this hero stuff isn't working. Vince Russo even came out, I think, yesterday and said she will be the next to be released. Like, Nikki Cross is going to be next in line to be released. And I agree with him. And it's not out of the realm of possibility. Like, anybody can go at this point, you know, minus a few people, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Charlotte, stuff like that. But Nikki Cross can very well be in the next line of people to get cut. And it's sad, that Vince has this flavor of the month thing that he has, but he definitely does, and it sucks across the board.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, a person that I want to say is being misused for real is these is the new up-and-coming talents. With the new up-and-coming talents, or even the old ones, such as Malachi Black. He was being misused, so they dropped him, and now he's over there in AEW. Let me see. Another person. I can't really say Dean Ambrose. He been gone. Let me see. Bray Wyatt was being misused, although, yes, due to some medical situations, they let him go. So I'm like, okay, cool. Current day, it will have to be I want to say Liv Morgan, only because of the fact you have her in a very good storyline with Becky Lynch. She won matches, but actually, you know what? Skip that. It'll have to be R-Truth. I'm sorry, I had to turn. It has to be R-Truth. R-Truth right now is going after a title that he has won many times. It's time for him to go after a new title, but due to WWE status, they have him going after the 24/7 title all over again. So I believe that they're misusing R-Truth right now because he can be a big star, like one of the greats, such as a Roman Reigns or Drew McIntyre or Seth Rollins.
I agree with that. Yeah. But let's talk about Malakai Black for a minute. Off chance, do you guys play any of the WWE 2K games?
Yes, currently I was, like before I got on this call, I was just playing 2K18.
Okay, so the makeup effect that he's using in AEW, I swear to God, is right off of WWE 2K20. Because I made that character with that same paint and everything and the same eye lens and everything like that. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, is that not just something else that AEW is buying off of WWE? Come on, man. Get for real. I mean, it's kind of sad you got to go to a product that ain't even the actual promotion. And you got to start ripping off of their material that is actually made material. Just saying, I'm sorry.
You are right on point.
Yeah, it's just crazy, but I don't know. I want to get into a subject that Martez brought up, though.
Okay.
How The Undertaker is ruining his legacy week to week. I'm very curious to hear what you have to say about this one, Martez.
Okay, here's the deal. The Undertaker stayed in character for what? Tell me if I'm wrong. Over 25 years, 30 years, he stayed in character.
Yep.
He sort of retired, right, last year or something like that? Or he did a farewell thing for him. Is that correct? Something like that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, since that time, you know, he's been appearing on podcasts. He's been doing cameo appearances. What else? He's been on talk shows. He's been on various different things. And I think the more he does these particular shows, the more it diminishes his legacy. Now, I might sound crazy, and even I'm telling myself right now, I sound crazy, but the more he does stuff like this, the more the mystique of The Undertaker is gone. You might as well take him out of the wrestling history because he's destroying himself as we speak. I saw a video last week with The Undertaker in some show with Kevin Hart, and it just made me want to puke. I get that you want to be – you want to be you now. You want to be Mark Calloway. But come on, man. Like, you got people that expect you to be a certain way because you've been a certain way for years, and now you're doing this stuff. You know, you are the one true person that kept kayfabe alive. And the fact that you are destroying what you built, it just destroys kayfabe altogether, in my opinion. And that was the worst thing I've ever seen in a while, him in that hot tub show with Kevin Hart. It's just disgusting, man. And that's why I wanted to sign off. Go ahead, whoever jumping in.
For, you know, any corrections, it wasn't a hot tub. It's the name of the show is called Cold Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Just like that. I don't know why it's named that, but, that's the name of the Kevin Hart show, just to let y'all know. But go ahead, Martez.
That's right. Thank you for correcting me. Like, I guess they soak in some ice, right? Ice water or something like that. That's even worse, man. That's even worse.
Man. Shit. I used to do that when I played football in high school, to soak in a container full of ice. But I get what you're saying, but I'm going to take you back a little bit. I'm going to take you on a little bit of a road trip in history here, if you allow me.
Oh, yeah.
The Undertaker debuted at the 1989 Survivor Series. He was probably at that time before his time. because at that time back then, you didn't have nobody else like him. You didn't have the mystique of any mysterious characters or anything like that. I mean, you had Kamala, who, you know, let's face it, Kamala is Kamala, and you had Papa Shango. You know, I mean, those were the only two back in that day that I can even remember was anything like The Undertaker. So when The Undertaker debuted, you got to look at it like this. He debuted on a character that he thought originally wasn't going to work. In one of his very first interviews, he said he thought that for sure The Undertaker character would just be a flash in the pan and be done within a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But as they build him and they build this most definitely a Hall of Fame career at some point. But I believe the downfall of The Undertaker and the mystique of The Undertaker literally started diminishing when he dropped The Undertaker gimmick and became the biker. That's when I lost interest of the mystique of The Undertaker. Because I'm sitting there thinking, like, you take this guy who is virtually impossible to feel pain in anything like that, then you make him some biker dude, and then you give him the that biker gang, and I'm sitting there thinking like, yeah, no, this I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward past the biker stage, and then he's back to being the Undertaker. I'm like, you know, if I want to see the Undertaker, I go back to 1989 and watch the Undertaker. I don't want to watch this bald-headed with a small mohawk Undertaker. I mean, come on. First off, you got to give credit to anybody who in their upper ages still can go. You got to give it to The Undertaker, to Hogan, Flair. I mean, they were doing it well past their prime. But the mystique of The Undertaker, to me, died the day he came riding on that motorcycle, and I just lost all interest in The Undertaker at that point in time.
If I can go back to that time, you know, I was like, I feel the same way you were. You know, I didn't really, like, feel like the mystique of The Undertaker was gone, but I did. I was angry for those couple years that he was the biker Undertaker, because that just didn't – I was so used to seeing the supernatural Undertaker, so I was actually excited when they went back to the original way the Undertaker was, because I never really liked it, the American Badass. Excuse my language, the American Bad ASS. I never really liked him, or I didn't like Big Evil. His variations of the biker character, I didn't like that at all. And I was happy when they went back to the dark Undertaker. But I agree with you to some degree, Josh.
Well, I mean, you can even go a little bit further back before that, because you had the whole Ministry of Darkness and everything like that.
Ooh.
I mean, when The Undertaker ever, all right, let's face it, oh, go ahead.
No, I'm getting excited because I think I know what you're about to say about the Ministry Undertaker, I think I know what you're getting ready to say, but go talk your talk. Sorry.
Well, everyone who was watching wrestling at that time 100% believed The Undertaker was going to be the leader of that faction. I mean, they made him the focal point. He was the front part of every single thing that was happening. And then the swerve was he was just Vince McMahon's bitch. Excuse my language.
Yep.
Because, I mean, I'm like, oh, we're going to reveal the greater one. Who the hell is the greater one? Shouldn't The Undertaker be? Again, I started losing interest in that part, too. So, I mean, you cannot build a character as iconic as The Undertaker and then literally saturize him and water him down so much to where the gimmick doesn't even work anymore.
Nope. That's
just my opinion.
And on top of that, during that time, actually, I thought you were going to say this, but actually The Undertaker showed a little bit more human features. You know, he was more talkative. You know, he wasn't talking the way he normally talked, the slow talk. He was actually having a conversation like we're having right now, like talking like we're talking right now. So we started seeing cracks of the human Undertaker, if you will, when he was with the Ministry of Darkness. And another thing that people don't want to say, but in that Attitude era, the Undertaker was kind of, his run was kind of lackluster. You know, he was infused with the Stone Cold and the Rock and things of that nature, but he wasn't a big key in the Attitude era. That's just my opinion. He wasn't a big key. It wasn't until the late 2000s when he had the streak, where people started to talk about the Undertaker as one of the greatest of all time, when he had the streak at WrestleMania. But if we go back to the Attitude era, in my opinion, he wasn't that prominent. He really wasn't for me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I know I sound crazy saying that, but...
Actually, believe it or not, me and one of my other friends were talking about something similar, how he's never been a fan of The Undertaker. Like, never, ever. He's straight up a Bret Hart kind of guy. He likes the mat technicians. He doesn't like anything else. And mm-hmm. I told him he's so one-dimensional, but he made a good point to me. Because he goes, at the end of the day, are you going to be able to get behind a character who at all this time, his first loss was to Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
And the thing about that is his first loss was to Hulk Hogan, but his first title win was also against Hulk Hogan. So you had the same old man beat him just so he could turn around and beat the same old man. Now, I'm sitting there thinking, like, you know, Hogan did a lot for wrestling. I get that. Undertaker did a lot for wrestling. I get that. But at the end of the day, if I'm an up-and-coming wrestler and I know that this is my character, there's no way I should have been put into a match with the real American hero, because that's how everyone saw Hogan, when the two don't even match up. I mean, you got the Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, dark side versus, you know, the light side. That was a good storytell right there. I wasn't into the whole Hogan Undertaker thing, but he said, and I quote, he did not like the fact that you built this guy up so much just to have a geriatric wrestler beat him. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, well, first off, Hogan, let's face it, Hogan's Hogan. I mean, he's synonymous with wrestling, no matter what it is. WWE, WCW, doesn't matter. He's synonymous with wrestling. But at the end of the day, is he right? Should his first loss been to Hogan? I don't know. That's not for me to say. But what do you guys think of that?
I'll let Kayvon go.
Okay, I'm sorry, you might have to repeat like that, like that whole thing all over again.
I'll sum it up. My one friend says that The Undertaker should have never lost to Hogan, because he says Hogan was his first loss, which I don't think Hogan was his first loss, but I didn't really go back in to look at all that real quick. But he says that Hogan was his first loss, and he don't think that The Undertaker should have lost to Hogan, because Hogan was way past his prime while The Undertaker was just getting into the kick of things.
Okay. Well, I would actually like to rebuttal that. He right. Undertaker shouldn't have lost to Hogan, but the Undertaker should have never, ever lost to Brock Lesnar to destroy the streak.
Yep.
Well, of course, we all know how that turned out.
That was one of the worst. I agree, Kayvon. That was one of the worst things to happen, not just in WWE, but wrestling history, him losing that streak.
Mhm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, but yeah, the fable, the story of The Undertaker to me died when he became the biker. So after the biker, once that biker debuted, I'm sorry, you can't go from dun 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 to whatever the American badass. Excuse my language. And then he did Roland. I'm like, come on, for real? first off, I don't like Limp Bizkit, so why the hell are you going to have him do anything? But, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, that was annoying.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, they're going to feed it to us anyway.
Yep. So we got about 20, seems like time is going fast. We got about 24 minutes. We might go past that, depending on how we feel, but 24 minutes to go. So what's next? What's next up? What are we talking about next? WCW or we want to sound off? Because I know, Kayvon, I don't know if you know too much about WCW, but if you do, feel free to jump in.
I'm gonna save y'all a trip. I have no idea what CWC is, so yeah.
Okay, Vaughn, next week you got to do a big 4+1 on WCW. I'm joking.
Yep. Nah. So, just, yeah.
Well, Josh said, yep.
Another challenge. Will you rise to it?
Wait. You said WCW, right?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Just as go ahead.
I can guarantee you, it won't make you fall asleep.
Okay, cool. That's my only concern. I was saying, if it's like an AEW, yeah, I'm good. But CW. Yeah, okay, I'm right. CWC. WCW. Okay, WCW, okay. I got you. WCW next week. I got you.
You want to start, Martez, about the downfall, or you want me to? It's up to you.
I feel like you're going to have a longer diatribe about this, but because honestly, I think the downfall of WCW is the fact that I blame that on Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't blame Eric Bischoff. I don't blame Vince Russo. I don't blame creative in WCW, because some people think WCW was trash in their latter years, but I really don't. I feel like WCW wasn't that bad in their later years, but I really think Stone Cold Steve Austin, the rise of Stone Cold Steve Austin, was the reason that WCW failed the way they failed. And then the fact that Tony Schiavone announced that Mick Foley won the WWE Championship, because you remember Raw was taped at the time, and some kind of way Schiavone knew that Mick Foley won the WWE Championship, and he said it live on WCW. I think that was a bad look for WCW. But like you always say, at the end of the day, I think it was Stone Cold that buried WCW. That's all I got to really say about that, Josh and Kayvon.
I will agree with that. Yeah, Stone Cold was definitely the most prominent component in the downfall of WCW. But I will also say, when Sable took her shirt off on Monday Night Raw and had those handprints on her upper area, that was another downfall, because WCW was just showing scantily clad women, while WWE was like, hey, we'll do you one better. But the real downfall, and this is where it all starts, the very first episode of Monday Nitro, when Lex Luger, who was on a WWE pay-per-view the day before, showed up, and no one knew, because he was still literally under contract with WWE. His contract did not expire until that following Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So he was still under contract, and when he showed up at that mall where they had the first WCW, that was the downfall, because WCW was like, we'll give you so much money even if you get a contract, so if you get sued by the other company, we'll just give you more money. That was the initial start of the downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that WCW showed that they didn't care what they did and who they did it to. And as a fan of wrestling, I'm sorry, but, like, if you take somebody from one federation to another and they're still under contract with that federation and you know they're going to get sued for breach of contract, well, that makes you a jackass. That was the true downfall of WCW, in my opinion. And then everything that just came after that, I mean, like, they started doing the whole gang warfare. You had Ravens, Flock, NWO, NWO, Wolfpack, which they were all good, but, I mean, it was like the LWO, and then you had the New Blood versus the Old School, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, yeah, too much gang warfare. And to me, it's like, if I want gang warfare, like we were saying the other day, I'll go watch Goodfellas or Sopranos or something like that. Just saying. Yeah. But yeah, that's all I got to say about WCW, so.
Hey, I guess we've put a ribbon on this topic relatively fast, but it's time for us to sound off. I know you can get involved with this, Kayvon. We gonna sound off on some things that we are not happy about or happy about in wrestling today. Do you want to take the first stab at this, Kayvon?
as the tribal chief, and see, I love throwing this title around because I can do some things. As the tribal chief, I order you guys to start off first.
Okay. Now, you go ahead, go first, Martez.
Well, okay, I'm going to sound off. I got a few things I want to sound off, but I'll do one at a time. I want to sound off about one Finn Balor. Okay, Finn Balor has been called up back to the main roster since, what was it, August or something, or maybe July or something, somewhere around that. Finn Balor has been in a Universal Championship matches twice. The Demon and the regular Finn Balor. He was switched over to Raw. But I'm sounding off because I feel like Finn Balor is once again getting misused, mistreated, and abused. They can very well have something in the works for him. But I saw a clip of Austin Theory taking a selfie with Finn Balor, and Finn Balor was obviously hurt and beaten in the middle of the ring. And I'm like, somebody the caliber of Finn Balor shouldn't be treated like a joke. And I feel like that's what they're doing right now. They don't know how to handle Finn Balor. They don't know how to use somebody like Finn Balor. And this should be relatively easy to use somebody like Finn Balor. But Finn Balor has lost to Seth Rollins a couple times since coming back. And then once again, what happened on Monday Night Raw with him being beat up and having a selfie with Austin Theory. I just think they can do better by Finn Balor. Really, they really can. Because he went to NXT and he did his thing when he went back to NXT, and now he's back on the main roster, and it's kind of a little lackluster for me. So that's my first sound off for this evening.
I agree. 100%.
Yep.
Yeah, my sound off is going to sound kind of familiar, but I think that the WWE really needs to get their heads out of their rear ends. You got Bron Breakker in NXT, who literally has never had a match in any independents or anything like that. Comes to NXT, yeah, he's got skill, he's got talent, all that good stuff, but at the end of the day, the dude is being pushed like he's the next Brock Lesnar, and I'm sorry, but he's not. He's going to be another flash in a pan, Steiner reject, and then Vince McMahon's going to see that eventually once he gets to the main roster, and he's going to say, oh, he reminds me too much of his uncle and his dad. That's why they're not in the Hall of Fame. We're going to release this fool, and that's exactly what's going to happen, and I'm tired of them pushing people that don't deserve to be pushed. I'm sorry, but if you've only had 5 matches, why are you even talking about a heavyweight title match? You shouldn't be. That's how you know Vince McMahon is running the company into the ground, because he's pushing all the people that yeah, you're going to be behind them, but how long are you going to be behind them? Like, it just goes, Vince McMahon is out of touch with reality, and he needs to seriously take a step back and let somebody else take over. And I hope it's not that Khan guy, because if it's him, the WWE's done, period. Because he's all about, you going to make me money? If not, you fired.
And you know what, Josh? And I was telling to Greg in a private chat last night, because I don't think it's a coincidence that there's two Khans that could be potentially on top of both top two wrestling promotions, Tony Khan and Nick Khan. But back to Nick Khan, you know, I actually think that he's actually running it right now. And Vince may not be making no calls, because maybe Vince has already sold it to him, you know. And I agree with you. I do not want this guy in charge of WWE, because I think he can destroy WWE. The WWE, as we know it, I think he can and maybe will destroy it. And I hope that he's not really getting the keys to that company. I hope not.
All right. Well, you know what they say, you can't con a con. I look at it like this. If you got the Three Stooges, which is you got Vince McMahon, you got Khan, and then you got Pritchard. If you got them three anywhere in the same room, you're not going to have no good ideas. You're going to have all the same stuff, all the same stale stuff, and it's going to make me nauseous.
Yeah.
I mean, let's look at it like this. And I'm going to make this short so then Kayvon can go. But let's look at it like this. I'm not even going to talk about the main roster, because right now the main roster doesn't even know what's going to happen from day to day. Let's talk about NXT. You take the gold and black. You take what Triple H literally was dealt to him, and he built from ground up.
Mm-hmm.
You take all that, and then you turn it into this rainbow bright strawberry shortcake kind of cockamamie stuff. You're not watching wrestling anymore. You're watching entertainment. And damn it, AEW was wrestling.
Yep.
If I want entertainment, I'm going to watch Raw or SmackDown. If I want wrestling, I was going to watch NXT. I can probably go without watching NXT anymore, but I mean, I'm still going to, because of certain reasons. I'm not going to name no names, Cora Jade, Raquel. You know, you get what I'm saying. But I mean, it's like, I don't know. They're just out of touch with reality, in my opinion. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, before I sound off, it was another name that hit me. Nikki Cross. They're misusing Nikki Cross as well. Oh, y'all dared to say Nikki Ash too. I'm sorry. Look, y'all, I'm tired, but that's all right. I'm gonna get through this night. Let's see. Sound off. One thing I think they're doing right in the WWE is the push of the heel, the phenomenal Roman Reigns. I think they're doing a good job with him this far. I mean, he is WWE. I don't care where you go. Then it'll have to be RK-Bro. At first, I wasn't a big fan of him, but since they're kicking butt and taking names, hey, RK-Bro is all right in my books, and I think that's one thing that they're doing right. Nothing that they're doing wrong, but I can sort of kind of see what it's going to lead to is Naomi and Sonya Deville. I can already see what that's going to turn, but I think that it's a little shaky right there. It's a little shaky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, see, you got to look at it like this. We've already seen that storyline, but only with different people. The only reason I'm actually interested in this storyline is because both them women are phenomenal at what they do. Mm-hmm. Hands down. I mean, they both can go. They both got the moves. They both got the looks. I mean, it's like, put them in a ring, give them a 30-man Iron Man match, and see who comes out as the winner. That's my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Good point. Good point. I want to sound off real quick on no, I don't know if this is a good thing to sound off on. But, I want to sound off on Johnny Gargano, okay? I want to sound off on NXT, probably WWE and Johnny Gargano, because I don't know if he's leaving WWE or not, okay? When he cut that promo last night, it sure seemed like that was his last night working for WWE NXT. But on the other hand, somebody attacked him. I don't know who this guy is, but somebody attacked him, so that left room for a possible storyline to develop whenever he comes off of whatever hiatus that he's going on. So I'm just signing off because I don't know what's going to happen with Johnny. Is he leaving the company? Is he taking a little break and then coming back to the company? Is he going to the main roster? Is he going back to NXT? Is he going to AEW? So I'm just kind of confused with him. Now, when it comes to Kyle O'Reilly, I think O'Reilly is gone. I think O'Reilly is going to AEW to be with Adam and Fish. But when it comes to Gargano, I just don't know. I don't know if you guys have any inside scoops on what's going to happen with him, but I'm just kind of confused on what happened last night with Johnny.
Well, I know that O'Reilly's done. He's literally done. He don't have... He says he has nothing else left for NXT, so he might get called up to the main roster if he doesn't leave. Johnny Gargano, even in his promo last night, said he doesn't know what the immediate future holds for him. He's still in negotiations with WWE, and WWE said if he signs, they will give him enough time to where he could go watch the birth of his child, and then when he's ready to come back, him and Candace can come back. WWE has literally offered him that, and that's more than they've offered anybody else. I mean, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch just had a baby, and Becky was at home. Seth was on TV almost every week. Now, the only week he missed was actually the week that their baby was born. So, I mean, in essence, I want to say Gargano's going to stay, but he's going to be called up to the main roster along with Candice LeRae. But on the same hand, nothing has been signed yet. So I want to say, I mean, I agree, I don't know, but I had the sneaky suspicion he will be with WWE still. That's just my opinion, though.
Because really, when you think about it, Kayvon and Josh, like, Why would anybody want to go over to AEW right now? Because if you go over to AEW, you got the potential to be lost in the shuffle, you know, as is. Because there's a lot of people over there now. So if I was anybody, I would think about going to NWA or Impact Wrestling, where it may be easier for you to get in a more prominent position. But I feel like if you're going over AEW, you're going to face the same problems you're going to have in WWE, which is too many people on the roster. And you're going to be in trouble. So I don't know why anybody would think that would be a good option to go to AEW right now. You know,
I could give you the only option I could think of: money.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, but that brings me to my second sound off. I am tired of AEW pushing the same set of people. I'm tired of all the people complaining about this and about that. But let's talk about the real crime that's happening. Brian Cage, big guy, can move, can do what luchadors do. This dude has potential to be a megastar, and I don't use that word megastar ever. But AEW is dropping the ball with him so bad that at the end of the day, he don't even have to have the ball to go home with it because he's already at home.
Yep.
You know, and I'm tired of them literally, like, you know, all right, CM Punk and Bryan Danielson, both good for AEW, both brought them tons of fans and money and everything like that, but let's face it, is Daniel Bryan not washed up already because he's already had broken necks and head injuries and so many concussions? I'm literally waiting for one drop kick to come, and then his career is over. And then what's going to happen? He's literally going to be sitting there, and they're going to have to pay him or buy out his contract. CM Punk has fans already turning on him, not just because they were in MJF's hometown tonight, but because he's doing the same shtick he did when he was in WWE. People don't want a rehashment. They want new. They want fresh. And when you bury people like Brian Cage and you take people, well, I mean, hell, even Sonny Kiss is a good wrestler, but how often do you see this person? How often do you see these people? You don't. Unless right. you watch Dark, and let's face it, Dark is a third-rate comedy show. Yeah, AEW, I think AEW and Vince McMahon had the same problem. They both had the head up their butts.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Hey. It seems like we are a bunch of grumpy people tonight. There's nothing really to be happy about in the world of wrestling right now. But it is a lot of things to be happy about. I'm looking forward to going to Monday Night Raw on the 27th. I know you guys are too. I'm sure we're going to bump into each other. We may even do some kind of a show across the street from Little Caesars Arena because I don't know if we can do something on their soil, but we can figure that out when that day approaches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, and I can get you all free parking because I work right down the street from Little Caesars Arena.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. Sounds good. So do you work for them or you work for, because you work with Dominic, right?
No, Dominic actually worked in my garage when I first started there.
Okay.
And then they moved him. So now I pretty much run the day-to-day operations at the garage that I work at. So, it's cool, but also, I mean, it has its back draws. Like, if Riff Raff comes in there, I have to bounce him out. And, well, you guys seen pictures of me. I'm a big guy, so I can bounce anybody out, really.
Oh, yeah. Don't mess with Josh. Like, Josh, you're gonna be our enforcerer, you know.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, Kayvon is no joke either. Kayvon got some moves, man. Like, Kayvon, he's a lethal weapon.
Hey, that's what's up. You Danny Glover,
hey,
I'm not Mel Gibson, though.
I was saying, look, that's why they call me the tribal chief. You know, I got another friend. He will be here, like I said, on WrestleMania week. He told me, you know, that he would have joined today, but he likes to keep his entrance a surprise for y'all lovely folks. So on WrestleMania week, if we decide to meet up at Imagine Theater or wherever, I'm pretty sure he's going to be there. Show his face and try to battle anybody that stands in his way. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Oh, you heard it here first. You heard it here first. Well, we got about 25 seconds to go. And what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to yield to one of you all. You all, one of you all, if you don't mind, can you close us out tonight?
Kayvon, be my guest.
Hey, all right, say less. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, of course, for another special episode of Wrestle Talk in the D with the Tribal Chief, Kayvon Martez, the DJ man behind it all, and, of course, Mr. Exclusive, Josh. We will see you all next week.
Tomorrow.
Or tomorrow. Excuse me. We will see you all tomorrow. And, of course, unlike me, well, I might join. I don't know yet. I'm still thinking. If I do join, I will have an announcement to make. But that is a wrap. We will see you tomorrow. Peace.